And these proverbs that are written here are written out of the experience of Solomon, whom God raised up to be the king, and yet we know failed in every way. People keep asking me, do you think Solomon was saved? Well, he was if Christ paid his sin debt. That's the only reason. Don't be looking for a perfect life. There isn't any. And that would be true of us. Do you think so-and-so is saved? Well, they are if Christ has paid their sin debt. Otherwise, there's no hope for any of us. And that's always a good answer to give, because most people are looking at somebody and looking at their faults and looking at their failures. That's why I believe the Spirit of God exposes every one of these in the Scriptures. We see them in their sin. And yet, it pleased the Lord to save sinners. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. And so what Solomon here is writing by the Spirit of God is a testimony of his grace, of how he has shown each of his own that better way. And the first here in verse 16 is better the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Here we stand. We've got all the world here and all that the world pursues and promises of great treasure, and yet people are never satisfied, are they? We know we aren't. As soon as you get that new car and it's all pristine, clean, and you're driving down the road happy with it, after about 6 months you start looking around and neighbor's got a new car and he likes this one better, and pretty soon you're thinking, you know, I ought to trade this thing in. That's just the way we think. Whatever we had yesterday that we thought to good today, it's no good, and we're gonna, but it's a spinning wheel. And it's interesting that there was a late Aramaic Bible researcher. Man went back and studied the language, and I like his explanation. He said, if you just look at the Aramaic text and what Christ actually said, the traditional forsaken interpretation is actually a misinterpretation. He says that the correct translation from Aramaic should be Eli, Eli, in other words, my God, but not why. It's not a question in the Aramaic. It's actually a statement. For this purpose, I am not being spared. Well, that puts a whole different light on it, doesn't it? For this purpose. In fact, I went back and looked at the original Greek, and it's interesting that the word used why can also be translated wherefore. Read it that way. Wherefore, my God, wherefore, not in the form of a question, but in the form of a statement. It's like you make some statements and you say, wherefore? Here's a conclusion. Wherefore? You are forsaking me. He was bowing to the will of his father. He was submitting, just like Isaac, on that altar. Didn't say a word as his father raised that knife to plunge it into him, believing God's word. There he lay. That's what Christ is saying here. Wherefore? Well, that helps, doesn't it? The root meaning is purpose, or in order to, and therefore it fits the overall attitude of our Lord. Even unto death, he did not shirk away from the cross that was laid upon him. It says in verse 9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Where does the fear of the Lord come but through the work of the Spirit of grace in the heart, that glory may dwell in our land? Where you see glory, think of Christ, who is the very glory of God. How is it that he dwells among sinners? It's only in that salvation that he came and worked out. That's why it says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. It's repeated again, his salvation, thy salvation. When people sometimes ask me, well, can a Christian lose their salvation? Well, just the way you ask the question, you have to say yes. When you say their salvation, you think they have done something about it? There was no salvation at all. That's going away. But none can lose his salvation, because from eternity he purposed it, and the Lord Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time and accomplished it, and now the Spirit of God reveals it. That can never be lost.